Very thankful for the goodness of God this morning. And I'm thankful that we can minister the gospel. And I'm not just speaking from behind this pulpit. I'm speaking of all of us, that we can go out and minister the gospel with hope and with assurance because of the goodness of God. Desire and interest in your prayers, Lord willing, we will pick up with our series after I get back home. But have another burden that the Lord has put on my heart to share, and I'd like to begin in the 24th chapter of Luke. Jesus had appeared to his disciples after the resurrection, and he taught them. And what we're going to read this morning are some of the last things that Jesus said. Now, when you know someone is going to be leaving, and that's their last words, you would put more stock in it, wouldn't you? So the things that Jesus said before he went back to heaven, I would put a lot of emphasis on that. Because he could have talked about a lot of things. And he could have said a lot of things. But when he gave us a few things at the very last, we want to consider what he said. So in Luke chapter 24, began reading with verse 46. And Jesus had been speaking to his disciples, and he, in verse 45, says he opened their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. I want us to understand the Scripture this morning as well. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Jesus said here that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Recently, as I was meditating and knowing that this trip was coming up, and the Lord inspired me with this, and I am going to Africa, to Kenya and Ghana with a mission. I'm going with a purpose, and I'm going to preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. But it begins at Jerusalem, and this is our Jerusalem this morning. Jesus died on the cross, and he rose the third day for our salvation. He came to deliver us from the very power of sin. And so he told his disciples then, he said, it behooved me to suffer. I had to suffer because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Because it is the shedding of blood that God honored to forgive or to pardon sin. And the blood of bulls and of goats was not able to give power to keep from sinning. The Lord would accept the sacrifice of blood, the blood of bulls and of goats, and he would forgive sin, and then people would go back home right back to their sin. They would go to the temple, be forgiven, and say, I'm clear before God, and go right back to their lying and cheating and adultery and stealing and uncleanness and idolatry. And so Jesus came to do what the blood of bulls and of goats could not do. He came that through the power of his shed blood, that it could transform our lives, that we were not only forgiven, but we would be able to go and live without going back to the sin that had defiled us, thank God. See, that's the beauty of the gospel message this morning. That's why the scripture says there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. He did not just come that we come to service and come to the altar and confess our sins and go back home and do our sins again. We are a new creature in Jesus Christ, where old things, the old sin, the old addictions, the old things that held us in bondage, the old heart, the old mind, the old way of thinking are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. So he said here that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. The message of remission of sin is a beautiful message. It's a beautiful message. And this is it in its simplicity. If you have sin in your life, and you have done, and all of us have sinned, have we not? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God until we have passed through the blood and been forgiven. But the good news is that there is a place that your sin can be remitted. Your sin can be forgiven. Your sin can be erased. It's not like the Lord still has this in his pocket and he's kept track of all your wrong until you die. When you come into the blood of Jesus Christ, that sin can be forgiven and pardoned, and you can have a clear slate. It can be cleansed, and you come and say, Lord, I keep regretting what I used to do. It's like the Lord saying, I don't remember what you did because it's under the blood of Jesus. There is a power this morning, thank God, that, and I didn't know if the Lord would have me preach this message at home more doctrinal or evangelistic. It'll just be however the Lord leads. But there is a place this morning that through the blood of Jesus, all sin can be forgiven. It's pardoned. You know, we look at the heartache of life and look at the pain that sin brings. And we say, how can it ever be restored? Oh, there's a power in the blood of Jesus that can take the person that has caused so much destruction in their family's lives. The person that has caused so much destruction in around them in their own life. The Lord can forgive that sin through the blood of Jesus. Remission of sin, it can be passed away. It can be cast as far as the east is from the west to be remembered no more. And the good news is this morning, if there is anyone with sin in your life and you have asked God to forgive you, it's under the blood this morning. It's gone. It's gone. And yet, if there are things in your life this morning that you know are not right, you can be forgiven this morning. You can leave this building this morning and have your sins washed in the blood of Jesus. That I came as a sinner and I'm leaving washed in the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to go home and I'm not going to do it anymore because of the power of the blood. And not only to those that are in gross sin. And by gross sin, I mean extreme sin. For those that have failure in your life, and you have been under an umbrella of failure, and it seems like you're just living in this perpetual state of falling short, there is a place in the blood of Jesus this morning that you can be forgiven to. And I will say that as a child of God, and I do not believe a Baptist theology that you must live in sin. There's a power to break sin. There's a power that I don't have to get up in the morning and say, I'm just a sinner. No, thank God I've been saved by the grace of God. And I don't have to sin today because there's a power that keeps me. When I am tempted, yesterday I had something happen that affected me spiritually and physically. But I am told, I had in my mind, although I was affected, I knew I have to forgive that person. It's not an option. It's not an option. I will forgive, and yet it hurt, and it affected me, and I could feel my heart, and I was being affected. But I knew, Lord, I'm going to make it. Lord, I need your help, though. I need your grace that I can respond to the wrong of someone and I can still love and still forgive like you want me to. And I can say, I found the grace of God to do that. Not because of my righteousness, but because of the power of God. I had to make a decision, though. Lord, I cannot. I can't afford to get bitter. I can't afford to, Lord. Do you realize this morning that even in serving the Lord, when I got saved, there have been times I've had to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not preaching this morning that you go back to sin, but folks, there are places in our spiritual journey that we need to come back to the Lord when we have not quite handled something like we should have, or we recognize, and maybe we thought we were doing fine, then the Lord showed us ourselves, and we say, Lord, I haven't had the right attitude. I thought I was doing all right. And then the Lord in his mercy showed us something about ourselves. The Lord's done that more than once in my life. And then I didn't realize it was that bad, Lord. I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want to be like that. Or Lord, I don't want to do that. Or maybe there's something that you've been doing in your life and you thought it was okay, maybe through justifying, or you just didn't have all the, that your eyes weren't completely open. Then the Spirit of the Lord comes and opens up your eyes and you realize it's like, Lord, I am sorry. That's me, Lord. I'm sorry. And we can come back and the Lord will forgive you. I just wonder this morning if physically Jesus were right here, if there would be anyone here that would say, Lord, I want some remission. I want to be pardoned, Lord. I want to know that I don't have to live under this anymore. I will just say, if there is anyone here that would come to Jesus to have some things remitted in your life, you have the opportunity this morning. You have the opportunity to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want this clear in my life. I'm tired of struggling with it. I'm tired of the guilt. I'm tired of the condemnation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it said he's a new creature. But it also says there is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are in church, in Christ Jesus, to those that have been washed in the blood. There's no condemnation. Because it's been covered. Oh, thank God for remission of sin. But how do we get that remission? How are we going to get the remission? Jesus said, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached. I have a message from the Lord. Jesus gave us a message. This is what I want you to take to the world. I want you to go to the world and tell them you need to repent. And you will find remission of sin. But folks, without repentance this morning, there is no remission of sin. This is important doctrinally, but it's important experientially. If we want remission of sin, and we want pardon, and we want the favor of God, and we want to be His children, we must repent. To repent means I'm going to turn away from my sin. There are many churches this morning that are giving praise and glory for remission of sin, but the church is silent on repentance. Folks, there is no remission of sins without first repenting. Because it takes us being sorry for our sin and not just crying tears, but sorry to the point that I'm going to forsake my sin. And until I'm willing to forsake my wrong, there is no remission of sin. There's availability for it, but I'm not going to get it until I have repented of my sin. Folks, there's a lack of repentance, and I'm coming to the conclusion that one of the reasons, one of them is a lack of the infilling of the Holy Spirit after justification. But one of the other reasons I believe that there are people that come to the altars, as few as they are today, why they come and they pray and they want help from God and they go back doing the same thing is because there's not repentance. We can come to the altars and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. What are you willing to do to get forgiveness? We're putting it all on God. Lord, I want you to do this, and I need you to do that. And Lord, I want to do better, and I'm going to turn over a new leaf. But are we willing to stand or kneel and acknowledge the need in our life? Too many people are praying for God to do something, and there's not enough godly sorrow this morning. There's not enough people saying, I am a sinner. You want to become a Christian? You want to follow? Yes, I will make a decision to follow Jesus. Well, what does that mean? It means you better forsake your sin. It's not coming down to the altar and shaking the preacher's hand. It's not saying that, well, I confess Christ as my personal Savior. If you want remission, you got to go by way of repentance. That this is who I am, Lord. I am an adulterer. Lord, I'm a liar. I confess and I acknowledge, Lord, I've been a cheat. I've been a liar. I've been an idolater. I've been seeking the fleshly, sensual pleasures of the world. Lord, I've been looking at things I shouldn't have looked at. I've been going places I shouldn't. Lord, that's me. If we're not willing to admit and acknowledge sin in our life, there is no remission. And I believe that this is one of the problems in the Christian world, speaking generally, that there's not enough repentance going on. Jesus said, preach repentance. And that means a sorrow for past wrongs accompanied with a change of mind. Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to turn my back on it. I've left all the world to follow Jesus. People want the remission without repentance. We need to look at ourselves in the mirror. And saints, I will say saints or sinners, that when we look at our lives, let's not doctor it up. We can get out the, what is it? I get all the words wrong. I don't use it. You know, all the cover up and all the, you know, for carpenters to just get the DAP out. You know, all the cracks and fill it up with DAP. There's still a crack there, though. We can take something that's ugly and we can try to doctor it up to make it look pretty. But underneath, who is the real you? Folks, we need to expose ourselves to God that He can transform us from the inside out. But it's going to take repentance, acknowledging, this is me. Lord, this is who I am. Lord, I did that. And I seems like many people, when they pray for God to save them, they're getting quiet when it comes to repentance. And I think that's a problem, according to Scripture. Repent, and then we will find remission. This was the message of the gospel from the beginning. When John the Baptist came, what did John the Baptist preach? He preached repentance. Turn away from your sin. Acknowledge where you're at and turn away from your sin. In Mark 1, and I'm just going to briefly mention this as foundation, but in the first chapter of Mark, Jesus, it said in verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We say, okay, so what is the gospel of the kingdom? What did Jesus preach? And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus preached. Can we preach anything less? Can we say, well, Jesus loves you, just come and He will enfold you in His arms and He'll forgive you? That's a wonderful message, but there's another part of the message, and it is you better repent. You need to repent. If you want to be forgiven, repent. So that's what Jesus preached. He said, repent, repent, and believe the gospel. What is belief without repentance? We say we believe this doctrine. We believe what the Bible says. Even the devils believe this morning. See, this is what the world has done. This is what the religious world done. They take the scripture, just confess Jesus with your mouth. That's all you have to do is just confess, profess that you believe in Jesus. Well, I will say with James, even the devils believe. The devils believe in Jesus, don't they? The devils believe in Jesus and they tremble, and yet they don't repent. There's no repentance. Belief is not enough this morning. It is a part of it. So if I have not believed in Jesus and I was one of those Jews that denied Him as the Messiah, the message would be, you need to confess Christ as your Savior. See, He was talking to people that did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. So you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. But if you want salvation, you are also going to need to repent. Repent and believe the gospel is what Jesus said. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples in the 6th chapter of Mark. And you know what they went out and preached? I think it's probably pretty clear where we're headed. He sent the disciples out, Mark 6:12, and they went out and they preached that men should repent. Preacher, I'd rather you make me feel good. I'd rather just have a praise and worship service, and I'd rather tell you that everything is under the blood. But the message is to get under the blood. The only avenue to get under the blood is through repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I haven't lived right. I haven't been doing right. Men everywhere ought to repent. When Paul was on Mars Hill in Acts 17, it said, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There was a time in the old law that God winked at sin. But now that Jesus has come, the message is one is you need to repent. You need to turn away from. Where is their personal repentance? Do you know where there is repentance this morning? You will find personal lives revived. You will find where there is spiritual death, there will be spiritual life. You want the best anecdote to marriage problems? Repentance. You see, we live in a society where everybody's a victim. Have you noticed that? I mentioned a while back, this is one of my, there are counselors in our world. Some of them are good and do a good job and are profitable. But I'll tell you, there are too many counselors that they will convince you that you are a victim. I am the way that I am because my mom and dad, the way I was raised. I am the way that I am because this person, in that person, in this situation. That doesn't fall in line very good with repentance. Well, Lord, I'm like this because it's in my DNA from my grandparents. Lord, I'm this way because you know the wife that I've got. This is what the world is doing. But repentance is acknowledgement. This is me. I'm going to take responsibility. You all might have treated me wrong, but I am responsible how I respond to it. So when I stand before God, I say, yeah, but Lord, you knew the congregation, what they did to me. No. He can say, but I wanted you to forgive. I don't have anything against y'all. That was an innocent example, just for the record, based on the other example I gave of yesterday. So there was a place there then that we have to start taking responsibility. Too many people are blaming this one and blaming that one and blaming this. Folks, part of repentance is taking personal responsibility. Lord, this is what I did. And you will find relationships will be transformed when we quit pointing fingers and take, not credit, but take responsibility for this is me. And you will find life. You will find, and stop playing the blame game. Folks, when we come to the Lord, we can't afford to play the blame game. Because then we're not coming in godly sorrow anymore. We're coming, Lord, you know this and that and the other, without just coming and saying, Lord, I have problems in my life. And I claim them. I own the sin. I own the failure. I own that I haven't done what I should. Lord, I acknowledge this. Lord, I confess this. I openly acknowledge it, Lord. That's repentance. And without repentance, saints, there is no remission of sin. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul said in verse 9, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to what? You sorrow to repentance. Gave this example, I think, maybe even to the young folks a few weeks ago, but there are people that do things to hurt others, and after they do them, they cry. Abusive husbands are a prime example of this. Husbands that are abusive many times, they will abuse their wife, and then they'll cry, and, oh, I'm so sorry, honey, I won't do it again until I get mad again. Until I get drunk again, until I lose control again, and then they do it again, over and over. And every time, honey, I love you, I will never treat you this way again, I'm sorry. That is worldly sorrow. That is sorrow after the flesh. But Paul was saying here, I rejoice not that you were just made sorry or felt bad of what you did, but that you sorrowed to repentance. That you felt bad enough about it. That you recognized your condition enough to cause you to turn around and walk away from your sin, acknowledging, Lord, I am done wrong. Lord, I am not doing right, and that's who I am. Do you know what someone that tells a lie is? Did you hear that? Do you realize someone that tells a lie is a liar? Now, we don't go around, you're a liar. We don't name call. But do you realize that we can make stuff, doctor it up to make it sound better? Someone that tells a lie is a liar. Someone that commits fornication is a fornicator. Someone that commits adultery is an adulterer. Someone that worships something other than God, that controls their affections, their time, and their money, they are an idolater. And we can make it sound pretty, we can doctor it up, and we can try to spread it out. But folks, sorrow to repentance means I recognize who I am. And folks, when we start seeing ourselves before the blood has been applied, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. But the song we sing said he made something beautiful. He made something beautiful of our lives through the blood of Jesus. But it takes us coming to repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So it's not just enough to feel bad, but it's in that we need to recognize what we have done. Is there anyone here this morning that will recognize, this is what I am? I'm an adulterer. I'm an idolater. I'm a drunkard. This is who I am. Well, I'm not that. I do those things, but that's not who I am. Then who are we? The blood of Jesus can cleanse this morning, and it can change our lives. If you're hard to get along with, oh, Lord, help us. I am so much more interested the older I get. I love the doctrines of the Word of God. But folks, if we can't love one another and put God first in our life, what do all the doctrines do for us? If you can't get along with people in your home, what are the other biblical doctrines doing for you? If you cannot have grace in your home, look at your life. Who are you? If you can't forgive your neighbor, what are you? If you can't, folks, we need God. I'm interested. I love the doctrines. Those of you that know me well know I love this. This is why I teach and I preach. But folks, the two most important things are love God with all your heart. Well, we've got the truth. We know what the Bible teaches about end times, and we know what it talks about, the ordinances, and we know the two works of grace, and we know about the Holy Spirit. And what good is it doing you if you can't simply get along with people and show love to people, and put God first in your life? We need to start saying, Lord, oh, I'm sorry. I want to put you first. And I want to recognize that maybe it wasn't my wife or my children or the people I work with. Lord, may they have their needs before God, but Lord, I'm going to start doing business with self. I want to see me for who I am. And when I see that ugliness, before I've been under the blood, there's a place I can go and say, Lord, would you cover me? Because this is who I am, and I need help. Repentance and remission of sin. True repentance. And for the sake of time this morning, I'm just going to give some references. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the remission. But he gave us the answer. How do we get to that remission? How do we get to a place of cleansing? Through repentance. And part of repentance is confession. People want the Lord to do his job, but I don't want to confess to anything. I just want to forget it. Oh, folks, listen, there's a place to forget those things that are behind. But you cannot forget those things that are behind until you confess the things that are behind. People say, I just don't want to think about it. I just want to go on. I just want to move forward. There is a time to move forward. But you will never be able to move forward until we first confess our sins. Openly acknowledging, this is who I am and this is what I've done. I don't believe there's enough confession this morning. I don't believe there's enough confession. Another part of true repentance is forsaking. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The prodigal son did not just come back home and say, yeah, Dad, I'm back home, and I'm made a change here, and I'm back. it wouldn't have worked. Do you realize that the prodigal son would have done that? He probably would have ended up leaving home again eventually. But when he recognized, I am broken, I'm a sinner, and I am not even worthy to be called thy son, that is what caused him to be willing to truly forsake his sin and come in humility to the Father. Folks, we will never find spiritual victory until we are willing to openly confess and acknowledge our sin. And not just sin, saints and sinners. When we are willing to acknowledge the needs in our life. Maybe it's not a sin that has separated you from God, but if there are some things in your life that you keep struggling with, we've got to start acknowledging what it is and confess it. And that's when we're going to start finding power with God. There is still a call to repentance on that beautiful day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. When Peter was preaching, the people were pricked in their hearts and they said, oh, men and brethren, what do we do? We realize we're sinners. We recognize we've done wrong. What do we do? Do you remember Peter's answer? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. Repent. When you feel conviction, it's not just saying, okay, Lord, I need you to do something in my life. It's repenting. And then we start finding power with God. So as we close this morning, there is a place, a question that comes, what happens if we don't repent? What's going to happen? Well, Jesus said in Luke 13:3, he said, nay, except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. It is true this morning that if people continue in sin, they will end up in a devil's hell. Without repentance, they will end in a devil's hell. Sin is what separates us from God. Drunkenness, fornication, adultery, stealing, lying, selfishness, unforgiveness, pride, love of this world, those things will separate us from God. Except we repent, we are going to perish. I want this to start at home, because I'm going to go and be preaching repentance in Kenya and in Ghana. I'm going to go preach repentance. But here at home, this is also the same avenue to get to Christ. It's through, Lord, I'm willing to confess now. This is what's in my life. God has given a space of time. And he said, remember from whence you've fallen. He said, I'm going to come quickly and I'm going to remove your candlestick, except you repent. Except you repent. And we know this morning, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should what? Perish. But what's the rest say? But that all should come to repentance. That's God's will for all mankind, is for them to come to repentance. So this morning, you can take this message. There's been a little bit of maybe evangelism in it and some doctrine in it. But as we stand, maybe we could sing a song. And I just want us to consider who we are this morning and where we are. I still believe that God has a reason for what he sends. And when I began meditating on this, I believe the Lord wanted me to start at home with this particular burden. It's a message of repentance. If there's anything in your life that you need covered by the blood this morning, it's freely offered. But it's going to take us being open and honest with ourselves and a confession. And the Lord will meet you there. Maybe we could stand and sing a song.